You're listening to the La Trobe University Mental Health Podcast Series, where La Trobe students chat about various mental health topics that are impacting students and their lives. At least one in four students are struggling with their mental health at university. Let's talk about mental health to help improve student awareness and break down stigma. The Mental Health Podcast Series was developed by the Student Mental Health Focus Group in conjunction with Strategy, Education and Prevention.
I would like to just start off with a content warning. Mental health is a sensitive topic, and there may be content discussed in this podcast which may be activating for some individuals. If you would like to get some support for yourself within the university, please contact the La Trobe Health and Wellbeing Centre on 03 9479 1085. My name is Lila, and I'm in my third year of a Bachelor of Psychological Science.
And my name is Brooke, and I've just completed my second year of a Bachelor of Psychological Science, and I have lived experience with mental health struggles.
So, in this podcast today, Brooke and I will be talking about self-care during exams. So, we'll be discussing times that we haven't enacted the best self-care during exams and if this has had any sort of impact on us. And we'll also be talking about tips for the lead up to exams and the preparation side of things, as well as tips for just before and during the exam itself. So, Brooke, would you like to start off with a time that like your experiences of a time that you haven't enacted the best self-care during exams?
Yeah, for sure. I might just sort of talk about it a bit generally because they all sort of seem to sort of have the same sort of, I don't know, outcome. So seemingly when I fall out of self-care habits, it really tends to have a flow-on effect. So my stress increases, my sleep decreases, my fatigue and anxiety increases tenfold. I feel like it can be a really punishing state to be in. And I'm not sure if you're like me, Lila, but I am already unintentionally really hard on myself. And don't worry, I'm always working on that. But failing to sort of enact self-care is not only detrimental to my physical state, it can also wreak havoc on my mental state. So, and a thing that I find kind of ironic is that, self-care is accessible to literally everyone because it comes in so many forms. And it doesn't necessarily cost anything except for some effort or, slowly built habits. But I guess the gist of it is when I fall out of self-care, it really does seem to have a flow-on effect. Is that sort of similar for you, Lila?
Yeah, that's definitely relatable. So, all really good points you've raised. And I did a perfectionism podcast a little while ago, so I've definitely have experience with that, being too hard on yourself and everything. I find that when I haven't enacted good self-care during exams, it has had an impact on me. So I go into the exam a lot less prepared, and oftentimes I'll get like a lower grade than I'd hoped for, or lower than if I had it prepared better anyway. So it's not the end of the world, but it's still a little bit disappointing to get that
Yeah.
mark back and gone, I could have prepared a bit better,
Yeah, absolutely.
So personally, exams are like a pretty stressful time, even if you do stay on top of everything you need to do. And for me, it can be really easy to get swept up in that kind of nervous tension and kind of forget how to take care of myself. So I'll fall into unhealthier eating patterns, exercise a bit less than I normally would. And I also stop journaling as much, which is all ironic because all of these things help me beat stress and keep a clear head. But in times of stress, they tend to fall by the wayside a bit. The times when I've kept up with healthy habits during exams have had a much better outcome on my exam performance and overall like well-being, but then times when I haven't. So that's
Yeah.
my experience.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, it's funny you say that because that seems to be like a common theme we both keep saying. Like when we're not doing it just has such ramifications and like looking after yourself, it makes a world of difference. And much like you said before, like I myself too, I can sort of fall into like really unhealthy eating patterns. And the worst part is That makes me feel really terrible. Like it adds to like the mental fog that I experience. It makes me feel nauseous like all the time. And it also reduces the already hard to come by motivation that like I need just to get to the finish line. Because like you were saying before, like whether you're up to date or not, getting to it the exam period, it's such a stressful time regardless of sort of where you're at anyway. But yeah, failing to self-care, yeah, do not recommend.
No, me neither. So we all know that you should prepare well, but I guess we should actually discuss how we do prepare well. So some tips for the actual lead up to exams and preparation. So my number one tip, and for anyone listening, you've heard this 100 times, but beginning your revision early gives you plenty of time to absorb the content and avoid cramming and just overall feeling more prepared. Because you also need to prioritize breaks and rest as well. So your brain needs this time to rest and actually consolidate what you've been studying. And, you can only really do that with early preparation. I find for me, resting well, between study sessions by going for a walk or even just taking a nap if I'm really exhausted. Are really good ways to take breaks between my study sessions. What about you, Brooke?
Yeah, I guess in the lead up to exams, I think that the biggest thing for me, something that I'm always working on is self-talk, but specifically negative self-talk. I'm really it's like not even it's not a habit, but it's like instinctual. Sometimes I just I recognize just how poorly I'm talking to myself, and I'm like, whoa. So I guess my tip is if you are like me and you do experience negative self-talk, especially in the lead up to exams, which is such a stressful time, something that I've found is helpful is one, just recognizing it. Recognizing it is probably one of the biggest things. You don't realize it until you start recognizing it, right? So recognize it, interrupt it, sort of ask yourself if you're struggling to sort of, like you're like, how do I combat this? The way I sort of do it is you sort of ask yourself if this was someone else, so like your friend, a peer, or a family member, would you talk to them like you talk to yourself? Because probably not, Like I tend to be so much more harsh on myself, and so much more encouraging to others. So yeah, recognizing it and just sort of moving myself to the side and be like, look, if this wasn't me in this situation, would I be talking this way? And that it's been pretty like minds not only mindset changing but life changing for me. So you've got to kind of be your own hype person and just repeat that whenever necessary. So recognize it, interrupt it. If you're having trouble interrupting it, ask yourself, is this how would I speak this way to someone I care about? And then you can be like, stop, hype yourself up, and then yeah, wash, rinse, and repeat. Something I'd also like to add, which you mentioned earlier, Lila, is rest between sessions. Then I think that that also helps with is spaced repetition, right? So spaced repetition for me is super helpful with content retention, and it also helps in giving yourself breaks between sessions too. So for me, like if I don't build those breaks in, I tend to hyper focus on studying purely for the sake of studying, like I did study, like ticking a box sort of thing. And I don't necessarily get a lot out of those sessions, rather than, just saying, oh, I spent, X amount of hours or the whole day studying, which is both a waste of time and super exhausting,
Yeah, for sure. And could you get out of my brain, please? Because this is like exactly my thought process with like everything you just said. Yeah,
it's
especially with like the self-talk thing and just being like, would I speak to like a friend this way? Absolutely not. So that's when I snap myself out of it.
yeah,
Yeah, I
snapping out
guess
is the hardest part.
Yeah, but yeah, just recognizing it for sure is the first step in addressing it.
I agree.
Yeah, I guess on a more like practical note with some study tips is I find looking at the intended learning outcomes for each of my subjects, that can be a really good starting point for guiding exam revision. So that's kind of the first thing I will do, and then that basically guides all of my revision lists from there. Another revision tip I use is to make sure that I understand concepts and definitions rather than just being able to like memorize them and recite them. So, yeah, what I mean by that is you might be required to read a chapter as part of your revision, and you're able to memorize and recite the information in it, but that's not necessarily the same as actually understanding it and applying it. So, my recommendation is with each definition or concept that you learn, you could try to write down some examples to go with it and make sure that these make sense to you, and maybe even try to apply them to something in your life to make them more like sort of cement them in your brain a bit better. And that can really help your learning, I find.
Yeah, it's really easy to fall into the trap of reciting, hey, rather than understanding.
Yeah, and exactly like most exams like require you to apply a concept anyway, rather than just say like
Absolutely.
pick the correct definition. I feel like I'm waffling on a lot, but another
You're
revision
not.
tip another tip that sort of ties onto the last one is to explain a concept to someone who has never heard of it before. So you could do this with an actual friend or a family member, or if you have like a study buddy, that's really great too. Or you could just pretend that someone is sitting beside you and you just mentally run through it in your head if you're like in a library or something where you need to be quiet. So when you're able to explain a concept to someone who has never heard of it and actually teach it to them in a simplified way, it ensures that you know enough about the topic as well to be able to explain it to another person. So that's one that I use a lot as well.
Yeah, cool. Adding to your point that you mentioned earlier about the intended learning outcomes, that is extremely helpful because it's sort of like a guidepost, I guess, because it's super easy to get sort of overwhelmed by the sheer amount of content that we have to learn. So, what I sort of do is when in doubt, overwhelmed, or lost, also, like Lila, I refer to my intended learning outcomes. So you can try to turn them into either mind maps to draw connections between concepts, or topics to create revision questions from. So yeah, no, definitely recommend referring to your intended learning outcomes. It can sort of like hone in your revision as well, because rather than trying to like remember everything or to synthesize everything, or well, I guess you are synthesizing the most important key information, I guess. So it's really good at helping direct your learning and your study. Another thing I just wanted to bring up is, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but each semester I try to get ahead from O week. And this is with regards to readings and such, because I don't know if you're anything like me, Lila, but I struggle to get through the readings. I'm not a quick reader and I take a while to absorb things. So one of my, I guess weaknesses perhaps is trying to keep on top of those readings or whatever. But in general, just trying to get ahead on these subjects from O week, it sort of puts me at ease and sort of puts me on the front foot. So when I'm attending lectures or tutorials, I sort of feel like rather than being like, wait, what's this? I'm sort of already on the same page as like the tutor or the lecturer and whatnot. I feel like that is really helpful, but it can be really tricky to balance this, and sometimes, well, regularly I fall behind on it because of life. But every time I get to the exam period, all the work that I've sort of started doing from O week, I am always thankful for past Brooks work, the past work that I've done. And I think something that we also touched on earlier is food, like an exam period. So I think it's important to sort of try and plan out meals and groceries to make sure you've got healthy snacks, meals and stuff ready for the exam period, because thinking about food and what you have to buy and all that sort of stuff, I don't know. It's like gives me mental fatigue just trying to think about that. And it takes up brain power that could be used otherwise. So for me, a recommendation I have is to try and sort of, I try to automate that part of my life. So I sort of just sort of create a list of, if it's just like 4 weeks, you know, the 4 weeks leading up to exams, I sort of just try to plan that out in advance. So I don't really have to think about it. I just sort of be like, oh, cool, here's a list, da da da. I don't know if you do anything like that, Lila. Is that common for you too, or?
Yeah, somewhat. So I have the luxury of being able to do my shopping online, which saves a bunch of time, and then I just go and pick it up later. So I've sort of adopted that recently, and it has saved me so much time. So
Click and collect.
yeah. Also, something else I do sometimes is I try to make like a little snack box type thing for when like I'm not really having the energy to be able to cook or anything. So I'll just go, what's in my snack box? And I'll have some like fruit there, or just like crackers, or just any number of like things, like muesli bars, just whatever I feel like really. And I can just go, okay, I'm hungry, but I don't really want to cook. I can just grab something out of that snack box and eat it. And
That is an excellent idea.
yeah. So that helps a fair bit too, as a bit of a time and energy saver.
Absolutely. Yeah, cool. Well, there was just I think one more point that sort of splits into two that I wanted to talk about before we move on. I'm talking about on the day of exam. And so just before that, I'd like to talk about revision, right? In the sense of a lot of people can recommend, and it is good to, you know, sort of revise with either your peers or whoever's around you, right? I always recommend if you do have the availability to or the access to meet up with people in the library, do it because, like you mentioned earlier, teaching concepts and learning from your peers and others can actually be quite fun. And it's you don't have to you're not limited to just in person. Even doing things like that over Zoom is really beneficial and really helpful. But if you don't feel confident to reach out to your peers, or you don't really feel like you sort of have anyone that you can reach out to, you can actually find and follow other students on YouTube or other social media platforms. There's a heap of like Study With Me or A Day in the Life of Blank Student. And sometimes it's nice just to see sort of how another person approaches studying and student life. And I find that that can also motivate you as well. However, on the flip side of that, this approach may not be helpful in the sense of everyone's circumstances are different and we don't have access to the same time or resources that other people have. So I recommend that, but you know, don't do it to your detriment in the sense of this person's, you know, spending 4 hours studying or 8 hours, no breaks, like that stuff, that's just crazy to me. But you know, if you find that there's someone, you know, on YouTube that's also a student that sort of helps you be like, oh cool, this person's studying, or you know, they use this particular technique, let's try that. If you don't really have the connections around you, I found that can be helpful because I feel like with online learning and being a student nowadays, whilst you know there's heaps of people around you, it still can feel quite isolating. So I guess for me, that's a recommendation I have. If you don't feel as though you have access to other people, you can still study and you can still, you know, achieve different things. But yeah, anyway, the last point I just wanted to say is not related to that, is but plan something fun for after your exams. So for me, it's sort of like, I don't know, whether it's a food adventure or heading to the movies or seeing a live gig or something, just plan something for when everything's over. So you can be like, even when moments are getting a bit tough, you're like, you know what? I at least have something really cool to look forward to. And that sort of helps kick me back into gear. But yeah, that's my suggestions.
Those are all really great. I love them all. Yeah, so we've touched on like studying and preparation in the lead up to exam, but do you have any tips for the actual day of the exam? So like the night before and the actual day of and that sort of thing.
I start off with the day before the exam. So, okay, so let's, you know, we're picturing it's the day before the exam. So, in the morning, I sort of leisurely pace through the revision materials and notes that I've sort of built over the semester to ensure that I've sort of got everything consolidated in the one document. Because I'm the sort of person, who needs to sort of have everything in the one spot. I don't, if I have, you know, too many documents or too many notes across different formats, I just forget about them. So for me, consolidation is a huge component for me. So just that last day before the exam, I just make sure everything's together. So yeah, that makes that part easy for me. I then move on to going through practice questions, which is a reason why consolidation of my notes is so important, because that sort of helps me if I'm struggling with particular questions or whatever, I can sort of highlight where sort of weaknesses in knowledge or whatever are. And if there is anything that I don't feel super confident in, it actually gives me some extra time to just focus on that. And I know myself pretty well, so I can normally pick a point where I've done all the revision, I've done reviewed all the notes, I've sort of done all I can. So it's a balancing act of sort of being like, you know, there's no more information that will go into my brain. There's no more sort of I can practice. I've done pretty much all I can. So I'm sort of pretty, I'm getting a lot better at picking that point where I realize that, which then I sort of go, okay, cool, we've done what we can. We've got a day between now and the exam. Time to unwind and sort of just let your brain absorb those last bits of information that you weren't super confident with. So, and then moving to the night of that same day, so the night before the exam, early shower, early bed, because for me, the shower helps me sort of wind down. And you need as much sleep as possible. So early shower, early bed, which leads us to morning of the exam. So all my materials and notes are all together. So I'll look through materials once more. I'll clear up my study space, which probably sounds strange, but for me, like having a clean study space sort of helps my brain feel not frazzled. It sort of brings this sense of calmness. So I clear my study space the morning of, and when it comes to food on any exam day, I'm always, no matter what, no matter how prepared, I'm always super, super nervous before an exam. And without giving, you know, too much information away, like it can physiologically, my body does not respond well to it. So I have to make sure I'm eating well. So I'll make sure that I have, you know, a hearty lunch. And then before the exam starts, this is probably the next stage, I guess. I'll make a cup of tea. I'll check my internet connection. And importantly, I'll take some deep breaths. That's super, super important, I feel, when you're about to start an exam, because it's so easy to sort of just like be super tense. And no, I feel as though taking a few deep breaths makes a huge difference. I have a pen and paper ready, so if I just need to like scrabble, scribble errant thoughts or just prompts, if I am thinking about something, I just have a pen and paper there, because that sort of helps me sort of keep my mind together. And then I will only ever start an exam, which this isn't applicable to everyone, because some people have very specific start times for exams, but a lot of my exams in recent, you can sort of, you have like a 12-hour window to complete it in. So if it is the case and I have that 12-hour window, I will only ever start an exam once I've spent some time calm. I don't ever try to sort of just rush into it. But yeah, that's sort of what it's like for me before an exam. What about you, Lila?
I think we both have very similar routines, as mine's fairly similar too. So yeah, just getting enough sleep the night before. Yeah, really, really just like things like that that you've all heard like a million times. Taking the deep breaths thing, I do that too, especially I do that for all subjects, but especially the ones that I'm pretty nervous about or I find more challenging. Personally, with the food thing, because I get pretty nervous before exams, so I don't have much of an appetite, but I will still try to sit down and eat like a smallish snack just to fill me up a little bit. And then after the exam, once my nerves have died down a bit, that's when I'll have like a bigger meal usually. Yeah. Another thing that you touched on is just having all your notes organized beforehand, so that way you're not having any technical errors trying to download something half an hour before the exam or anything like that. So I like to have all mine in a specific folder so it's all in the same place, so I can just easily bring that up when I'm ready to do the exam. One more point that I wanted to touch on too is trying to make the space where you're doing the exam and also just like your study space in general. Instead of thinking it as like thinking of it as a really grueling space, try your best to make it inviting and welcoming and comfortable. So whether that looks like making a drink in your favorite mug, even just adjusting the brightness of your laptop so it's at a comfortable level, making sure your chair is comfortable, maybe even lighting up a candle or something. So it's just like a nice sort of a soothing space to calm your nerves a bit. As long as you don't get carried away with that preparation and you actually remember to do your revision and do the exam. That's good. But yeah, just find ways to make it pleasant as you can, I suppose.
No, I agree because like the more inviting a space is, the more sort of like you don't feel chaotic already in it, right? I think you raise really valid points there because not only will that help you sort of bring yourself to study, it will sort of, I think, only set you up for success when your mind frame as well, when you are there, it sort of like conditions your brain to be like, okay, here we are. This is my happy space, even though, you know, it's also a lot of work to do. Like I think it sort of bridges this nice balance between work and invitingness and calmness, like you mentioned. Yeah, no, I agree. And I'd just like to sort of also touch on if you are feeling overwhelmed in the lead up to exams, I have a few suggestions. One of which is talk to your peers because there is a very good chance that you are not alone in your feelings. And sometimes just talking to someone else, be like, oh, dude, like I am nervous as heck. Like, just hearing someone say, oh, me too, it makes a huge difference. So talk to your peers. You're very likely not alone with your feelings. And if you are feeling a little disconnected from your peers, jump into a session with a PLA, which are peer learning advisors. So they can be found both on campus in the library and online in the learning hub on the LMS. And PLAs are current La Trobe students who are there to help fellow students develop independent learning skills, share advice or study tips, and also just be a fellow student to have a chat with. So that's another resource if you're feeling a little bit disconnected from your peers as well. Another suggestion I have is your lecturers, unit coordinators, or tutors. Talk to them. They've all been there before and they know the pressures that students are under. Take their sage advice and wisdom. They love talking to students. So yeah, definitely recommend reaching out because, you know, I don't know. I've never felt bad coming away from having a moment and just saying, look, I'm feeling a bit nervous or whatever. Do you have any advice? And I've learned a lot from all the people around me, between fellow students to you know, teaching staff. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that. And the last point I'd just like to say is the university also has the Health and Wellbeing Resource Hub, which is where we would find not only podcasts like this, but it also highlights the range of services available to support the well-being of students at La Trobe. So exams are stressful. Be kind to yourself. And if you're listening to this in the lead up to exams, good luck.
Yeah, all fantastic points. And I think that's a really good place to finish up. So thank you for listening, everyone. We've hoped you enjoyed today's podcast. Again, my name is Lila.
And I'm Brooke, and we are part of the Student Mental Health Focus Group. Please tune in for future episodes, which can be accessed via the Health and Wellbeing Resource Hub on the La Trobe website under Mental Health and Wellbeing Resources. Thank you.